welcome to episode 159 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Donna, Lindsay, and Laura. There can be no doubt that air travel today is far more affordable and accessible than it has ever been. There are so many airlines and price options available now for almost every budget. We all love to save money, especially when it comes to travel. As travel professionals, we do have a tendency to look at domestic discount air travel through a very healthy sense of skepticism. Leery of hidden fees, restrictions, costs, and or catches buried in the fine print. But what about the latest trend of discount European air? I'm sure by now you have seen the ads all over your Facebook feed. Can you really fly from Boston to Iceland for $199 with no regrets?
That's the key, with no regrets.
Recently, Lindsay decided to take one for the team and test out some rock-bottom pricing offered by WOW and Norwegian Airlines. So let's hear all about it. So, Lindsay, I didn't realize you took two different airlines.
That's cool. Did. I wanted to try both of them.
Okay. So what's the verdict?
Overall verdict, I was very happy with both experiences, but I will tell you that I had quite a few worried, sleepless, reading way too many reviews online nights preparing for my little adventure. WOW has they both have kind of restrictive flight schedules. Uh-huh. So they only fly on certain days and only from certain locations. So that can be a little bit daunting when you are, you have to make a time. Mm-hmm. You have to make it somewhere exactly that day or exactly the next day. Because if the next flight out isn't until 3 days later, it can be a little scary. So The negative reviews that I did find were from people who had been in those unfortunate situations where their flight had been canceled and they had to reschedule and it wasn't until 3 days later. But I didn't have any of those problems. I got the exact plane I was supposed to get. It was an actual purple WOW airplane. It was new. It was spacious. I would even go so far as to say I feel like I had more room on there than I did on Southwest. My bags, everything fit everywhere. But I went into it knowing what I was getting. I didn't buy the WOW Basic. I bought WOW Plus, paid the extra $70 to get my carry-on bag included and my check bag and to make sure that I could pick my seats. Because those things were important to me, and I knew that I didn't want to have to run the risk. You're going to pay for it anyway. And if you show up with other discount airlines, if you show up at the airport with a bag and you didn't pay to check it, then you're going to pay quite a bit to check it.
It's more to pay at the gate than it is to pay in advance.
Yeah. So talk about where you flew from and to, because this was your Ireland flight, right?
Yeah, I flew out on WOW because I wanted to do a layover in Reykjavik. Mm-hmm. And the only other way to do that really is with Iceland Air, but Iceland Air, you have to do a round trip, and I didn't want to fly a round trip with them. It was going to cost too much. I was coming home from a different country. It was going to be, so I flew one way with WOW and picked a 17-hour layover in Reykjavik so that I could get just a little bit of a taste of a layover there, and I was happy with the amount of time I had. Definitely, if you want to go pretty far out, I wouldn't recommend doing a one day or 17-hour layover. But for what I wanted to do, I got quite a bit done in the city, and then got to go check out the Blue Lagoon as well, and still, felt that I got a pretty good experience there before I left to go on to Ireland. So it kind of worked out. And for I think my flight from LAX with a layover and then on to Ireland was, I want to say, around 260.
Oh, wow.
So you is that including, including the $70?
That's with the $70 upgrade.
So, wow.
See, I've never seen it. I price this all the time because
So Sandy will appreciate this. I just pulled up just for giggles here. You can fly from Pittsburgh to Reykjavik right now on WOW Air on October 23rd for $99 for WOW Basic and $174.96 for WOW Plus.
That's like so a week from now. That's like really close in travel too.
Yeah. So when I was thinking spring break, Pittsburgh to Reykjavik, and by the time I added on all the stuff, it was like $600. I wasn't seeing it that cheap. It was...
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right now, if you wanted to go up to WOW Business Class, it's $268.43.
So I wonder if the benefit is doing it close in. Because when I look far out, it's not that cheap.
What is WOW Business Class? Is it... It's, we're not talking lay-flat seats like Delta One, right?
No, no. We're talking, you get the meal, you get XXL leg room, so you get a little more leg room, priority boarding, cancellation protection, and then all the perks of WOW Plus, the carry-on and check bag and picking your seat.
So it's a little bit like economy comfort, or like Comfort Plus or whatever. A little bit better, but like with a meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you just need to really do the math and think about, if you live at one of those, near an airport that flies out of, then it's good. But for me, every time I've looked, getting to that airport adds like $200, you know?
Yes, I can see that. Yeah. And I would say, Lindsay, you did it really well because you did that layover in Reykjavik. I think for people who really are just trying to get to London or to Dublin or whatever, it starts becoming, because that's you're just adding a lot of time to your flight that way.
Yeah. You are. And then the other thing is, I mean, like you said, location is everything. I can fly to LAX for under $100 most of the time. I can get like a $70 flight. So by the time you add that in, that's still way cheaper than I could have gotten.
WOW flies from Baltimore. And Baltimore is like a 5 or 6 hour drive from here. So
Baltimore tends to sell out. New York or DC, Boston. Yeah. Pittsburgh is good. But it's... I have not had good luck pricing it way more affordably. I mean, it was still like a little cheaper, but nothing like the $200 and something.
So your $70 upgrade did not give you extra leg room, right? It just paid for your bags and your seat assignment.
Yeah, it just paid for my bags and let me pick my seat. Now, when I flew home, I flew on Norwegian, and they've got kind of a neat program that lets you bid on an upgrade. So the minimum bid is like $199 to bid on an upgrade to business or their business class. And it ended up being in a 787. So it was really nice.
That is nice.
And I got it. I bid $200 and I got it. So my original ticket from Paris to MCO was, I want to say, about 140 or something like that. 150. It was ridiculously cheap. And so you add in the $200 and it's not that much. But I got to sit in one of those where, you kick the foot plate comes out and you can stick your legs all the way out, and it's got the TV that comes out of the side, flips around, and then the tray flips out of the other one. And then it's got the dimming lights or the dimming window, the dimmers on the window. So it was really neat. It was so worth the extra $200. But then again, you're not guaranteed to get it. I didn't pay for it in advance, because paying for it in advance would have been, I think, a little bit more than that. I just pulled up for an example.
While you're pulling that up, I want to ask you another question, because I'm sure you can do three things at once. One of the biggest things I have about Discount Air, especially domestic, is the service level. Some of that is tied to the fact that they only have a certain number of planes, and so if your flight is canceled, service seems really crappy because they can't do anything for you. They can't put you on another plane.
Right.
So how did you feel in flight? How was the service in flight compared to what the airlines that we're used to, our big name brands?
I will say I was very happy with both of the service in flight for both of them. I did just to experience what it was like to call into them. I did call into both of these airlines for frivolous reasons. And I had a great experience I was able to get through to someone right away. Now, I did not have the experience of having to cancel my flight or reschedule anything, or I didn't have any hiccups that I needed to iron out. So I don't know what they're like in a pinch. But from everything I had been reading, the biggest problem is the schedule. So like, in my personal schedule, I knew I was flying home from Paris and I was going to be in Walt Disney World for 3 nights, and then I was going on with the rest of my trip. So I figured if my flight should happen to get canceled coming home from Paris, and I couldn't get another flight, I'd just be stuck in Paris 3 nights longer and then take that other flight out. I should still get there in time to get that next flight out. So I made my schedule fit any scenario. I just kind of planned for just in case. And I think if you have that type of schedule, this type of air travel could work for you. If this is what your budget is, if you can't afford the $800 ticket or the $600 ticket, and you really need that $239 ticket, you just have to have a little bit more flexibility and a little bit more patience, because these airlines only fly on a certain set that every other 3 day. They're not going to put you, they're not partnered with anyone else. There's no one else they're going to call up and put you on a different plane. You're just going to be where you're going to be until you can get out again. But I didn't have a bad experience. Everyone I talked to at the airport that had, I was talking to other people to see what their, you know, they had, and everyone had a great experience with both of these airlines. So I don't know. I think as with most things, if someone has a bad experience, they tend to run to the internet right away. Oh, yeah. This is my bad experience. Whereas I had a great experience, and look, I still haven't written a review.
Well, I also think, I mean, I think we are so used to getting services, and it's like, you only paid $250 for your ticket. What do you expect? You know? Well,
and it sounds like, too, because you were traveling by yourself, and you had no other time schedule besides yourself. I think if you were going, obviously this is not for business people. But like, even with a family, I think it would add, I wouldn't be able to be as flexible with my family as I am by myself.
Yeah. I think I think Lindsay's right. You just build in some flexibility where maybe you don't schedule any activities the first 3 days that are fixed. Like, you can go do stuff in those 3 days, but just don't schedule a tour guide or anything like that.
Right.
So that you can, when they fly out of Paris, they fly to Charles de Gaulle, or is it Orly?
Yeah,
And
that was a fantastic flight. And when I got my upgrade, I got access to the first class, the lounge.
Nice. Nice.
So I was drinking in the lounge and eating in the lounge, and then got on the plane and drinking and eating. And I will say the food was, but the food is always on the plane. And so it's not, you know, but the service was great. I was very impressed, and I would 100% do this again. Mostly because I really like it fits in my budget. And just to give you an idea of the difference, just for right now, I pulled up a flight from Orlando to Paris. Low fare is $149 with Norwegian. Low fare plus, that includes your bags and seat selection, is $239. And then if you wanted to jump up to premium, it's $625. So,
it's still less than I've paid.
Yeah. Is premium like comfort plus, or is premium business class? What's the
premium is kind of where I was.
Okay.
Is there,
so it's business class.
Yeah. Okay. And then there, the premium flexible is $816, and that just means that you can cancel, it's refundable, you can make changes.
Yeah.
So, the premium includes your handbag, your check bag, your seat reservation, fast track, meals, the lounge, any changes for a fee with premium, and then it's not refundable, but premium flex, that's the big difference there, is you get the changes and the refundable. And if you just go down to the low fare, the $249, basically you're just getting your handbag, your check bag, you pick your seat, you can pay to be fast tracked, you get a meal, and then you pay to make changes. So it's not, and the other thing to keep in mind too is, bag restrictions, is with most European flights, your check bag is not quite the same size as what we do domestic check bags at. It's about an inch smaller. So that's something to keep in mind. So I did have to make sure that all of my luggage kind of panned out to the size it was supposed to be. And, but as far as it's not as bad as flying like Ryanair or flying like
I have a friend in the UK who was going to do, I want to say Monarch Air, and she was going to go to Rome for New Year's Eve, and it went out of business. I feel like that's the name of the airline. But anyway, it was one of those cheap airlines.
Doesn't matter now because it went out of business.
Yeah, but they basically, and then like the weekend they went out of business, all these other airlines were helping to get their passengers home because they just went out of business and then the people were stranded. And yeah, so she ended up, I don't know if she's gotten a refund yet. I don't know what's
going to happen. Well, that's where insurance would really come in handy. Yeah, I mean, especially if you're not as flexible, you do book something and you're not able to make it, then you can claim it on your insurance, your traveler's insurance.
Get your hotel, cover, get your thing. That's a great point, Donna. You know, this is where you kind of went, especially if you had a family or had an obligation that you needed to get to and didn't have that flexibility. You definitely want to cover yourself.
A lot of the smaller airports in Europe will have the discount air. I mean, there's several. And I've put people on Flybe to fly from Belfast to the Midlands airport. And then we actually flew CityJet. And it's actually like a slightly beefed up Southwest. It's kind of like Southwest meets Virgin America. This sort of like hip kind of. But it was very easy, but definitely bare bones, but not uncomfortably so. It was nice.
And you're like, I flew both. I flew Flybe and, but your the one thing I did not like about Flybe is that your personal item and your carry-on item could not be a combined weight of more than 20 pounds.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a small plane right there.
Purse and your, yeah. So it was kind of so I just knew I paid the upgrade with Flybe so that I could check my carry-on because I knew it wasn't going to make the weight requirement. And I read stories online of people getting pulled out and having their stuff weighed. They put the purse in their like in their laptop bag and they weigh it all.
That's probably because the overhead won't hold that weight. And so we're talking about like if you put that stuff up there, it's going to fall on your head in the middle of the flight.
And then they have to redistribute everything whenever they check it. Hey, tell me a little bit about your stop in Reykjavik. I want to hear more about that. So you had a 17-hour layover. Were there shorter options? And what is the shortest amount of time you would want to do like the...
I don't think personally I would want less than 17 hours.
Really?
Well, if you're going to go out into Reykjavik, if you're going to...
If you're going to go try and do anything, you want, you know, by the time you get your bag, by the time you get your rental car, by the time you get all that, you know. So I picked the longest one I could find. I think there was some for like 3 hours, but then why even leave the airport at that point? Because it's an hour to get into town.
Right.
You know, it's putting time to get your... So we took the shuttle over and got a rental car, and which is, you really, 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 my one plug for a travel agent. When you go to Iceland, you want a travel agent, especially if you're going to be renting a rental car. I saw so many unhappy people returning cars. Every single one that got returned was getting dinged with something by the insurance. Just buy all the insurance. Not just a little, buy all the insurance whenever you rent a car in Iceland. It just, really. Just don't even do it. Just pay for it. The wind is really strong there. They ding you for if gravel or dirt or dust scratches the paint, if the underside of the car gets scratched, you need it. You need it there.
That's a good tip. Yeah.
I have to show you when we're done recording tonight, I'll show you. I'm going to tease everybody out there. A friend of mine is in Iceland right now, and he did a drone photograph of himself at the waterfalls at Lake Mývar, I think is what it's called. Mývatn. I don't know how to say it because I don't know how to say anything in this language.
They put extra letters in there.
So many letters, all these letters, and then little accent marks. But it's gorgeous.
Second major tip for Iceland, if you get the Garmin, you better know how to speak Icelandic or what, you just better know how to spell everything you want to go see because my Garmin was absolutely worthless. It was the most frustrating experience I've ever had in my whole life. If you miss one R or one, you can't, it doesn't pull.
And there are so many R's. So many.
So is it feasible to just get a like tour to take you out to the Blue Lagoon instead?
Yes. Absolutely. It is
if you get in at a certain time. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I didn't do that is because I wanted to be in the Blue Lagoon at I wanted to go into the city and do some sightseeing and then go get a hot dog at the famous hot dog place and get some pictures and then go back and do the Blue Lagoon at night. And then, because you can stay in the Blue Lagoon until like about 12:30 this time of year that I was there in the summertime, you can be there till about 12:30. Mm-hmm. And then the flight wasn't until later, so I had plenty of time. Mm-hmm. But the tours, the last tour bus that will take you back to the airport from the Blue Lagoon leaves at like 10, and I didn't want to go back at 10. I wanted to stay till 12:30, so I got a rental car, and it ended up being just as much as if we would have gone with the tour and everything. Yeah. But we got to do kind of things on our own pace and go kind of where we wanted to go. So you can do a tour, but you just really need to pay attention to when you're coming in, what your schedule is, what your flight schedule is versus what that tour schedule is. And I wanted to go out to the Pearlon, which is the other thing I did. There's a big giant science dome out in just outskirts of Reykjavik, and it is inside they have 300,000 pounds of ice and glacier that they moved in there and made an ice cave inside that you walk through. It's so cool. I took a whole bunch of pictures and videos in there, but they're building up next year. There's going to be a natural science exhibit that they open up. And so it's kind of a nice way to kind of see all the beauty of Iceland. You can't get out of Reykjavik to actually go see all the beauty of Iceland. It's definitely something I would recommend doing if you're there for like what I did, which was this little layover. But I had beer. I had really expensive beer and had great food.
Yeah, one of my friends just did Iceland, and she was surprised at how expensive it was to eat and everything.
It was crazy. I think I spent more in one day on food and alcohol than I did in like a week somewhere else. It was crazy. So plan to spend more than you think you're going to spend. Mm-hmm. And
they got to get their money somehow because you didn't pay it to fly over.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I get the feeling that Iceland wants to keep it from being like the cheap destination.
Yeah.
And so you've got like the cheap airline to get there, I think that's smart of them to keep the price.
Well, some of these hotels and things, I mean, it's a very green country, meaning, low carbon footprint. And it's not cheap to run places like that. I mean, well, it's not that expensive.
What if they want to keep it that way too?
Right. Exactly. So, they're nicer hotels and I quoted a trip for somebody with a very, very low budget. And eventually I had to push it back to them because I was like, the only places that I'm finding, I wouldn't really feel comfortable putting you in, so you kind of need to choose those places
and
yourself.
My friend that I was talking about is an Airbnb person, and she felt like it was a mistake to get Airbnbs. She felt like she could have done better with hotels.
There are a lot of horror stories about that. Right now they have a problem in Iceland because there are way more tourists than there are actual natives. There's like 10 tourists for every one actual Icelandic person. And so they're like finding a unicorn when you actually get to find somebody that really lives there. But they're kind of overrun with a lot of like camper van people and things like that. And so I think that's kind of just one of those, be mindful of where you're traveling, try not to destroy things.
Well, there are actually a lot of cities.
That's a good question, Laura. I was wondering the same thing.
Hmm?
Why would you want to get a hot dog there?
Oh, so one of the things that, is I'm a foodie, and like all the food blogs and all the food shows, they all say that you have to go eat, hot dogs at this one place. But I found a food review online for another hot dog place that was over by a stadium that was supposed to have way better hot dogs. And I think, so that's where we went instead. But it's just different. It's a different type of hot dog. It's not like not like your typical hot dog. And,
how did it compare to the reindeer dogs?
It had, well, I guess they had like bacon in it and had like, it's just different. They're different, made with different things. And I don't know. It just, it was one of those food things to eat, like when someone says if you go to Chicago, you have to have deep dish pizza.
Yeah, like when you go to Pittsburgh and you have to have pierogies.
You had to have those like sandwiches with French fries on them.
Oh yeah, you have to have Primanti Brothers sandwich too when you go to Pittsburgh.
See, I'm learning.
She made me have one of those, but it wasn't in Pittsburgh. It was in
Fort Lauderdale. I know. I was like, there's a Primanti Brothers? Yeah.
So yeah, it was just one of those things I wanted to do, and it was probably a cheaper option for a meal than anything else.
It's a valid point.
Yeah, very.
Which is probably how it got to be so popular to begin with. things are a little bit pricey, but it was beautiful. It was beautiful, and I can't wait to go back for a longer period of time. But I do recommend the stopover. If you're on a budget, if you're traveling to, why not? I mean, you're going over there anyway.
Mm-hmm. And you're avoiding that hotel cost that we were just talking about. Sure. Yeah. Hotels aren't cheap, so.
Yeah. Yeah, because originally I had a hotel booked for that night because I was going to do a hotel and then just take a bus. And I decided, no, just get a rental car, and ended up being cheaper than if I would have gotten a hotel. But it was you can plan a longer layover too. So if you really do want to do a longer layover, you can book a round trip and schedule in a longer layover in Iceland and kind of tailor it around to your needs. I mean, if you plan on driving around anywhere and experiencing like the waterfall you're talking about or any of that, you're going to need more than a day. You're going to need several days, actually, probably about 4, 5, 6, 7 if you want to do the circle and everything. So
yeah, I do think that like WOW is a better choice when you are going to Iceland. Like that's what I was talking about when, you know, I've known people who have gone to London with, yeah, if that's your destination, then it's perfect. But if you're gonna then continue on to London, you need to be pretty hardy to do that. I mean, because it's adding unnecessary flight time, and unless you are doing a stopover like Lindsay did, where you're at least going to see some of Iceland. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, if you're going round trip to Iceland, and that, then it's great.
Nice.
And there's no need to, I mean, if you're not, I mean, because you can go from, like I said, from Boston to, you know, straight to Iceland, or you can go from Boston to London, or Boston to Paris, or, you know, or Orlando to Paris. You can go on Norwegian. If you don't want to go to Iceland, you can still take advantage of.
So does Norwegian have a stopover anywhere like that? I mean, you're obviously not going to Norway from Paris to Orlando, but
I didn't see one, so okay.
I think Norwegian's a little bit bigger than, but basically part of WOW's thing is they only fly to Reykjavik. Right. It's kind of like Emirates. You have to go to Dubai.
Right.
So, you know, you can go on from there, but you have to go to Dubai.
All right. Well, that's our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Lindsay, Laura, Elizabeth, Donna, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!